Holly and I had an interesting experience recently. We went on a vacation. We took a vacation to St. Louis. I would encourage, I think you're right, Kelly. I think that's 2 weeks in a row. I broke two mics in a row. So, I'm not even going to attempt. I'm like a technology black hole. If it can break, I can break it. Thank you, ma'am. We went to St. Louis recently on a vacation, and I really think you should all take vacations quite often. In fact, you should take vacations that make you drive, because there's nothing more spiritually healthy than driving for 10 hours with children. You know, I've been reading 1 Peter a lot. I'm going to talk a little bit about 1 Peter in a little bit. I've been reading a lot about 1 Peter this summer, and he talked a lot about suffering and how, you know, that suffering draws you close to God. And so, yeah, you should drive long distances with small children. It really does strengthen your faith in ways you can't anticipate. But it was fun to go on vacation. We went to watch the Giants whoop the Cardinals. That was fun. And we went to all the museums in St. Louis and saw the Children's Museum and another museum and the zoo. It was a great time. But I've always been the kind of guy that I've always liked church. I mean, to me, church is fun. I enjoy church. I always have. Even when I've lost. I shouldn't say this. Hope my Boca Chica listen to this. We would sometimes meet, because there was nothing to do in Boca Chica, shockingly. We'll sometimes meet up at church to then go do things we shouldn't do because church is a good meeting point. You know, it's kind of what we did. So I've always enjoyed church. It's where my friends were. It's where we played basketball together. We hung out together. Church for my family was really was the center of our social life. It really was that important to my family. So I've always just genuinely enjoyed being in church. Always have. So when we go on vacation, or when we're out of pocket, normally on Sundays when I'm not here preaching, I'm normally preaching somewhere else. Like, if I'm not here on a Sunday, I'm usually preaching a revival or preaching a conference somewhere. I don't take many Sundays just off. If I'm not here, I'm somewhere preaching. So, in St. Louis, I had a Sunday off. I don't get those. I like what I do. I like to preach. So I said, you know what? Let's go to church. Let's find a church. So we got on the internet. We looked around. We wanted to find a church that was something we could learn from. Because if I'm not preaching, I want to go somewhere where I can learn something. How do they do things different than we do? How can I learn from them? What can they teach me about church? What can I learn from the preacher? What can I learn from the worship? How can I go to this place and learn something that'll make me more effective here at Asbury? So we get on the internet and we look around and we find this church we want to go to. They have a Saturday night service, so we're going to go on Saturday night. So we pull up and they must have thought I was like a spy. I'm taking pictures of stuff. I'm looking in the closets. I go behind the welcome desk just to kind of see what they were doing. And I just kind of make myself at home. You know, a lot of neat things. A neat facility. Big new church. They got huge screens everywhere. I thought the screens were cool. They had them everywhere. The only bad thing is that they had to pay for the coffee. And like, talking about tithing, if I had to pay for coffee here, I'd just give my tithe to the coffee ministry. Because it would just be dumb as much coffee as I drink. I mean, I'd be bankrupt if I had to pay for coffee. Well, at church, at least. It was neat. It was a neat experience. The preaching was good. The worship was good. Learned a lot of things. Literally took a whole bunch of notes. Was texting during service to staff saying, hey, this is what I think. This is kind of cool. They do this. Or this is neat. Some neat ideas. But I'll tell you what I took away from the service when I left. It's a great church. But I took this away. I love my church. That was my takeaway, my biggest takeaway from the service we went to was this. I love Asbury. I love what we're about. I love what we do. And I love how we do it. They did a lot of things that were neat. Did some stuff a lot better than we do it. But when I walked in, now listen, there could be a million reasons for this. They weren't very friendly. They weren't like hostile, which would be a turnoff. If you go into church, they're hostile to you. That's never good. They didn't really care. They weren't mean. Just nobody talked to us. And we found a seat, and there was a disconnect. And I don't just mean a disconnect from the people to the preacher or the people to the worship team, but there's a disconnect amongst the people themselves. And now, listen, there could be a million reasons why that was the case. It was a Saturday night service, and maybe Saturday nights are different there. It was a holiday weekend, so maybe there was a smaller crowd. I mean, there could have literally been a million reasons. Because, by the way, as a preacher, I know that sometimes things just don't work right. And I understand how things don't work right here sometimes. And so I want people to give me grace when we mess up. So I was trying to give them grace and figure out why this didn't, what didn't click, why didn't it work. But I don't know, I left there thinking, gosh, I love my church. I love my church. You know what I'm afraid of? Well, that's a long list of things. Other than mainly water. Holly and the kids went to the water park yesterday in Collins. I mean, I stayed home. I'm not paying $25 to watch somebody's purse. I'm just not. I can watch a purse at home for free. There's no point in me going to Collins and paying money to sit there and watch somebody's purse. I don't mind watching. That's not about the purse watching. It's about the $25. I mean, that's about it. I'm a married man. I'll tote purses. I don't care. You know what I'm afraid of? And that time in St. Louis reminded me of this. We've got one shot. There's some folks coming here this morning that coming to church was the hardest decision you've made in months. Some of you could have had a really bad experience in church. Could have had a really bad experience. There could have been some real bad stuff in your past with church that you're like, I'm out. I'm not doing that. And so the decision to come to church may have been the biggest decision you've had to make in a long time and the hardest decision you've had to make in a long time. We got one shot to make a difference with the gospel. One shot. There could be somebody here this morning that is one bad day away from relapsing into addiction. One bad day. There could be families here this morning that one stiff breeze could destroy that family. There could be people here this morning that one bad day, one bad experience could push them to a very dangerous place. We have one shot on Sundays to impact folks with the gospel. And the staff can tell you that us not impacting them with the gospel is not an option. We have one shot on Sundays to impact someone with the gospel. And my greatest fear as a pastor is that we're going to blow it. That we're going to offend somebody. Not that we're going to offend, that we're going to be not even thinking about it, rude or mean or unfriendly or not welcoming. If you're a visitor today, I hope, seriously, my email is andy@asburypetal.com. It's in the bulletin. If you're a visitor, shoot me an email. I won't add you to any of our list, I promise, unless you want me to. I want to know what your experience was like today. I'm serious. If you would not mind, it would be a great blessing to me to hear from visitors. andy@asburypetal.com. What was it like today? People talk to you? People fuss at you for being in their seat? I mean, I'd like to know. Because we're not going to blow this. We got one shot to impact folks with the gospel. What are we about here at Asbury? What are we about? We've talked about this morning, knowing Jesus and knowing Jesus better. It's very cool in our culture to be down on the church, isn't it? And let me tell you, when I say be down on the church, I don't just mean among the culture. Yeah, of course the culture is going to make fun of church. And of course the culture is going to make fun of Christians. But I don't just mean sometimes the culture making fun of Christians or putting down the church. You know who puts down the church the most? Christians. Christians put down the church the most sometimes. I'm going to be really transparent here. I'm a preacher. I spent several hours at church yesterday piddling because they were out of pocket. It was just me. So I spent several hours yesterday just up here piddling around. I do it most Sundays, Saturdays. I'll come in and work a little bit. I guard my mouth about church to my children. I don't put the church down to my kids. Because my attitude, because I guarantee you, we're going to find something today to irritate you with. A song selection, a phrase I use in the sermon, something we do, we've probably already offended half y'all, I'm guessing. And the rest of y'all, I'll get to in a little bit. Will you bash the church on the way home today? Will you bash the church and say, oh, stupid preacher? By the way, you're probably right if you say that. I probably am kind of dumb. But church matters, y'all. What we do matters here. And let me tell you why. It's got nothing to do with the church itself. See, here's the thing about the church. I grew up in the country. And the last thing you want to do at Johnson Chapel was teach Sunday school. You know why? Because when you start teaching Sunday school at Johnson Chapel, you know how you stop teaching it? You have to die. When you die, you don't have to teach Sunday school ever again. That's how you get out of it. So what? So many of us have that bad experience with obligation, don't we? Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, I've got to do that. Oh, I've got to do this. And we check out. In fact, for many of us, that's what pushes us away from church sometimes is the obligation and the stuff, oh, I've got to do this. Or oh, they'll talk bad about me if I don't do that. Or I've got to do this. What we've got to get into our mind is this. The holiest thing that might have happened in this place this morning is somebody made coffee. Because if you come to this place having fussed with three kids all the way here, and you're tired, and you're stressed, and you're irritated, that coffee is nectar from the gods. Somebody's got to make it. The holiest thing that happened this morning might have been you come to this place discouraged and down, and the guy or gal out front at the door opens it and smiles to you. The holiest thing that might have happened this morning is somebody simply walks by you and smiles. The stuff of church is not necessarily preaching. If you're called to preach, phenomenal. But every baptized believer, everyone who is saved by Jesus' name, is called to live out the gospel in their lives wherever they are. The biggest mistake we've ever made in ministry is that we've made ministry preaching. That's not the end of ministry. That's part of it, sure, but that's not the end of it. Everyone, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we exist for one purpose alone, to know Jesus and know Jesus better. And everything we do, can help them know Him and know Him better. You know when a church dies? I'm not a fusser. I'm really not. I don't really like conflict. I really don't. So I tend to pull back from conflict most times. I haven't had many, what I'd say, real church arguments. I really haven't. I tend not to argue a lot with people unless I have to. But I remember I was serving a church one time that just didn't want to do anything for anybody outside the walls of the church. And I told them, I said, y'all, if you don't do something at some point for somebody outside the walls of your church, you're not voting to die today, but you're voting to die in 30 years. There's a great book by a pastor by the name of Tom Rainer. Tom Rainer is a kind of church leader out of Nashville. He wrote a great book recently called Autopsy of a Dead Church, Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And the greatest mistake churches make when they cease to stop being church is when they only focus on themselves. Here's the thing, y'all. It doesn't just give them life when you do the stuff of Jesus. By the way, the stuff of Jesus can just be being nice to someone. That's holy. It doesn't just give them life. It doesn't just help them to know Jesus. But what happens is we get to know Him too. We get to know Him when we're obedient. Like Brian said, when we do the stuff, we learn. How many of you learn from sitting there and watching? Or how many of you learn from doing something? One day, when I turn up dead, Holly's going to have murdered me. And no jury will convict her because she's married to me and they would understand. But it drives her crazy because I'm a geek and I have no patience. So when you tell me something's wrong with your computer, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to go, then I'm going to move you aside and do it myself. You know what happens when I do that? She doesn't learn anything. I've had to learn to back away and let her, okay, this will click here, do that, spit, cough, and it'll fix it. It's when we do stuff we learn. And so in our lives, so often our faith is ineffectual. So often our faith is weak because we haven't done anything. Right now, if you're in a place where you feel empty and down inside, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you served somebody? And that's what this is about. Everything we do here at this church, is done so folks can know Jesus and know Him better. We've got one shot every Sunday to impact somebody with the gospel, and we're not going to blow it. It's not an option. We're going to do all that we can do in everything, from the coffee we make to the greeting we do to the children's ministry. Y'all, I know, we feel like we're begging for kids' ministry all the time, don't we? I know it. You know the ladies that watch your kids, your babies? You know what they do while your kids are in there? Besides yell at them? I'm just kidding, they don't yell at your kids. They yell at me when I stick my head in the door. They run me out of there. They're praying over your children. They're praying over your children. How holy is that? Come on now. There's folks right now that are praying for your children to know Jesus Christ as Savior. There are folks that are giving their life to simply smile to a child to teach them about Jesus. There's nothing holier than that. I'm not asking you to move heaven and earth. I'm asking you to take one step forward. Another step. Another step. Another step. The reason why we do all of this, I know it's easy to bash the church. I know we Christians are worse at it than other people because we've often had bad experiences. The church does not exist for itself. And the moment the church starts to exist for itself is the moment the church begins to die. I have a friend of mine that's an Episcopal priest in Collierville. He's serving one of the few Episcopal churches in America that's growing right now. And a very formal church, very ornate. Been in the Collierville for a million years. Beautiful stained glass windows. He said this. He said, the moment we value these stained glass windows over lost folk is the moment I hope God blows them out. Because anytime we put the stuff of church over the people that God sends to us is the moment we begin to die. It's funny, we had those missionary kids from Texas here last week, and they said over and over again how thankful they were for them to be here. And we're like, we didn't do anything. Like, we show up sometimes and say, hey, how are you doing? What can we do for you? Like, we're good. I'm like, okay, see ya. We didn't have to really do anything. We just kind of, we're here. And they said they have been in very few churches where folks actually let them use the facilities for the mission. If we don't use the stuff God's given to us for His glory, I'm going to look away from finance and trustees when I say this. I hope He takes it from us. Because we don't exist for the stuff. We don't exist for the stuff of church for ourselves. We exist for the stuff of church for Jesus. When I first came to meet with the SPRC, my first meeting, I told them this. I said, I was not sent here to grow this church. I was not sent here to meet the budget. I was not sent here to pay apportionments. That's our conference askings. I was sent here to help us build the kingdom. If we take care of the kingdom, God will take care of us. And when we put ourselves ahead of God, God will take care of us then too. Everything we do, from our small groups to our service to base camp to all these things, they exist for one purpose alone, so that we can know Jesus and know Him better. So the folks we impacted by us can know Jesus and know Him better. And as long as we focus on that, God will take care of us. He will. I want to read to you real quick from the Bible, from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 19, where Paul writes these words. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. The foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. Hear what Paul says there, y'all. Paul says, okay, the ear shouldn't say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong. Or the hand saying, because I'm not a foot, I don't belong. Don't be somebody else. Don't say, well, I'm not so-and-so, or I'm not such-and-such, so I can't do it. Be who God's called you to be. Don't run away from the precious creation you are. God has made you in His image. God has given you the gifts and the weaknesses. And do you realize He's given you your weaknesses as much as He's given you your gifts? Because if you allow Him, He will use your weaknesses as much as He will use your gifts. In fact, I put forth, He'll use your weaknesses more than your gifts. Because the thing with our gifts is we think it's about us. I'm awesome, so there. It's the areas of my life that I'm really weak in, that when God does something, I'm like, whoa, that ain't me. Because I can't do that. Just because you're not an eye doesn't mean you don't matter. The body needs ears too. That does not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If we were all a single member, where would the body be? God's made you as He's made you for a reason. God has you where He's has you for a reason. And here's the thing. It's not about you. It's about Him. You don't exist for your glory. You don't exist for your dreams. You exist for His glory. And you exist for His plans. God's plans for you are better than your dreams for you. Let me say that again. God's plans for you are better than your dreams for you. Now, His plans for you may look dumb at first, like, oh, I'm not doing that, Lord. Have you lost your mind? I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. What's wrong with you, God? It may be scary. You might not want to greet in our church. Do it anyway. You might think, I'm so busy, God. I don't have time to go make coffee. It takes 15 minutes. I'll show you. God, I can't teach. Oh my gosh, Lord. Have you seen the way I master the English language every Sunday? Seriously. I make up words. What word did I use this morning in totality? I used the word totality like three consecutive sentences. I'm not even sure that's a word, but it sounded good. It's about Him. You don't have to say that. It's about Him. What will you do with it? Where will you serve? Where will you take His light? I don't. The notion of exercise is one that I've been told by people actually is helpful. I think sleep is helpful too, so that's why I don't exercise as much. I had a friend of mine used to always tell me, he said, Andy, I'd lift weights if they weren't so heavy. I'm like, well, that makes good sense to me. I can buy that. Yeah, I'd lift them, they weren't so heavy. I've been told by folks that exercise, the more you exercise, the better you feel. The more you exercise, the more energy you have. The better you're able to do stuff. Are we exercising our faith? If you don't exercise it, it's never going to grow. If you don't exercise it, it's never going to blossom. And y'all, I don't want to waste a second He's given us. I don't want our church to waste a second He's given us. We have a chance to impact folks with the gospel. not with religion, not with the stuff of church, but with the gospel. And everything we do here is for that purpose. So my question and my challenge to you is this. Where's your place? I know you're busy. I get it. I know you are. Here's the thing, y'all. For everything God calls you to do, you're going to have 10 excuses. Easy. 10. I'm talking 10 off the very top of your head without even thinking about it. 10. Then you're going to come up with an additional 10 after that. So this is one of my greatest problems/strengths is I'm stupid and hard-headed. Sometimes the more the devil tells me I can't do something, the more I want to do it. I've noticed my mind drifts. I've been reading 1 Peter a lot this summer. I've been carrying this in my pocket a lot recently. The cross I got in Israel. In 1 Peter, Peter writes a lot about your mind. He said, have a humble mind. Have a sober mind. And what I've come to realize is that quite often in my life, I'm defeated before I leave the house. Because I'll leave the house focused on Jesus, and then I'm gone, y'all. I hit the car, and I'm worried about everything but Jesus. And I spend all day wandering around spiritually saying, whoa, what? Ooh, is that a butterfly? And I'm just wandering. Spiritually, my mind's all over the place. And I'm learning every day that I've got to center my mind upon Jesus. So I keep this cross with me. And when I feel myself drifting, I reach down and grab it. And I remind myself. And so here's what's happening. I blow it a lot every day. But what I'm finding is that the more I focus on Jesus, the opposition of the devil actually makes me want to chase Jesus more. The more I focus on Jesus, the roadblocks he throws in my ways makes me more determined. The more I focus on Jesus, the more I see his temptations as a call to pray. Now listen, I still blow it plenty. Probably blow it more now than I ever have. But I'm not going to be defeated by the devil because of lack of focus. I'm going to focus all the time. You're going to have 1,000 different reasons why you can't serve, why you can't be faithful, why you can't do it. 1,000. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Let's pray.